You're listening to WWBC, Cocoa, Melbourne, Titusville, 1510 AM, as well as W234BI, Cocoa, Rockledge, and W264AS, Rockledge, Melbourne, Palm Bay, and 100.7 FM.
Hello, friends of the Space Coast. You have Sita Begee right here that does not have her document in front of her that says anything. So I'm gonna, you know what? We're gonna freestyle today's shows. Welcome this morning to Viewpoint with Sita and Friends on AM 1510 WWBC, FM 94.7, 99.9, 100.7, and we are heard everywhere on the Space Coast, online as well, Miss Ellen.
That's right. All over the world, actually, on www.1510wwbc.com. If you click on that, then you could be able to listen live on any one of your streaming devices, or you can click the on-demand button, which will take you to the date. Of course, we post everything on our Facebook pages and all of our social media, as well as our website, which is sitamediainc.com. And with 14 years and 52 weeks a year and two shows, two guests.
You can actually search.
Yep. You can search by topic. You can search by name. And certainly, we have just fantastic, fantastic library of great interviews.
We do.
Today's no different.
It is. And so on Mondays, Ellen and myself, Ellen has been my co-host on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends here, pretty much going on 14 years. Mm-hmm. And I have to say to all our friends who are tuning in, all our loyal listeners and our sponsors, I couldn't do this show without you, Ellen.
Aww.
And it's just awesome to have you on board. And from what I understand, Danny wants us to sign a contract, so to speak, maybe just stay on air for a few more years. and he's affirming that's true.
Really?
We just might do that. Because we have such wonderful friends and family members who do support the show, as well as great sponsors. And Allie, our resident guest, is back.
Allie's back.
She took a little rest, R&R, we like to call it, rest and relaxation, and she's back. So on Mondays, we sit here and we talk about kitchen table topics. We speak about things that are going on here on the Space Coast, as well as around the nation, the state of Florida, and the world. Because, like they say back in the islands, one love, one nation. And today's no different. My wonderful friend, Evelyn Lois Gray, is here. And Evelyn is a community advocate like myself and Ellen and all of us in the studio. In addition, she's a realtor. And she has held numerous positions all throughout the United States and right here in Florida as well. So we want to welcome Evelyn to our show.
Hi, Sita. Thank you for having me. And this is such a monumental day for more than one reason. We can't forget 9/11.
That's right.
Yes, we have to remember that because, you know, it happened once and it can happen again. And unfortunately, this time from inside our own country. So let's stay in prayer and pray for the ones that's gone, and pray that nothing else comes.
Well, you know, you just hit right on something that I was thinking about this morning as I was walking at the gym, Miss Ellen. So for our listeners who are tuning in, the studio is just filled with such positive energy today, and I just feel so good about today. They say take each day as it comes, and we really have to. And today is just a beautiful day. I was giving out medication in one of our nursing facilities when 9/11 happened. Mm-hmm. And I remember the lady so well. Her name was Jean, and she did not like to take showers.
Right.
She liked to take bed baths, and the girls would fight her to give her a shower, and she will not go. And that morning, I was in her room watching CBS News,
right,
and talking to her about taking a shower. And then she said, look what's happening to the Twin Towers. And she was from New York, and she said, is that a movie? And I said, no, it's not. I said, it's something that's happening there. And I saw people starting to scramble and jets and crying. And she started to cry for her beautiful New York. because she was one of those ladies that loved Central Park and loved living in New York.
I was there for the opening, April 1972. It was when they had just finished the construction and they were having the grand opening. And my brothers had offices in the South Tower. So they were on their way to work that morning, that fateful 9/11. And then my brother, my oldest brother, is the superintendent of the Fire Academy in Maryland. So they flew him by helicopter there. So my family was there for 6 months or so, doing cleanup and rescue.
Tragic.
And it was tough.
Horrible.
Really, really tough. But once again, the United States, we bond together. We figure out ways to make things better. I don't know if we made everything better necessarily, but those moments are the things that remind us about what it is.
Gone are the days when we had Rudy Giuliani parading around with a hat, uniting everybody.
Right.
He has fallen from disgrace terribly.
Right.
So we do need somebody else to say we need a spiritual awakening in the United States.
And
everybody starts saying, Namaste. What lives in me, spirit in me, is also in you. And we need to start promoting more love, more peace, more unity. And like our friend Lois said, you know, it has to come from us, right? And Allie, 30 seconds, where were you on that fateful day?
I was close by. I was in New Jersey working for Johnson & Johnson, and we were on the 12th floor of a building, and from there, you could see the smoke coming off the tops of the Twin Towers across the river in New York, and it was very frightening. We had one huge department that worked with J&J that was stationed in that building, and so we were all really concerned.
Yeah.
People we spoke to every single day, so it was very frightening.
It was a day that nobody would like to see repeated, but, you know, those who fought for freedom that day, so many died, the firefighters, the police, and all of us who are left behind need to fight for them, their children, their grandchildren, what happened to them when they had inhalation from all that debris. You know, so the fight doesn't stop, like John Stewart said, right?
Yes.
We have to do it.
No, my brother still suffers with
So one of our other guests today, guys, you know how I always find the most wonderful guests for our show?
You do?
So I was browsing on Facebook one day, and I saw this organization. And mind you, I've rescheduled this gentleman a couple of times. It's an organization in Kenya, and the gentleman's name is Edward Kabaka, and he's the founder and director of RICO, which is an organization in Kenya that works to support the poor, the disadvantaged, the marginalized communities, and just give back. You know, we sometimes, because we live in the United States, we think about the United States, but there are people who are disenfranchised and all over the world. And it's so nice to get another perspective for a change. So Evelyn is here. We'll talk to Evelyn in the second segment. And the first segment, we'll go right to our phone to Mr. Edward, and I hope I'm not saying his name incorrectly, Kabaka. Welcome and good afternoon, Mr. Kabaka.
Good afternoon for you and good evening for me here in Kenya.
I was just going to say, I think it's 8 o'clock in the evening there.
Well, you know what? I just want to say thank you so much for taking the time to call in on to Viewpoint with Sita and friends here in sunny Cocoa, Florida. And it just warmed my heart that you were thinking about me at 1 o'clock this morning. Because I got your call.
Yes, it was very funny that I got confused with the timing, the Eastern time. I didn't see the PM, so I thought like it was my morning.
Well, that's okay. Morning, you know, Ellen usually does that part of the job, and she's been very busy singing all over Brevard. She's a singer, and she does a lot of stuff here in town with her band. So I took that part of the job, and I omitted probably to write PM. But that's okay. You're on now. And I want to talk to you about your work and your background. And how did you get started in this foundation that you've created, this nonprofit? So talk to us a little bit about what you do for the poor and vulnerable communities, and most importantly, the women and the children in your part of the world.
First, I was left as an orphaned children. My both parents died at left me at the age of 6 years. So I grew with other siblings, and I became the head of household at the age of 12 years. So I faced a lot of challenges, a lot of horrific moments trying to work to put food on table for myself and for other siblings. I was working in the gold mine during the daytime and night, still going to the gold mine, going for 1 month working in the gold mine and 1 month going to school. So life was very, very horrible for me. So when I grew, I made it to me that I must make some change to so
you do everything you can to alleviate poverty in your exactly. area, and you know what we call that in the United States, you give people a hand up, you know, you give them the tools they need to get out of poverty, and you've been there. Now you exactly. You said you went to gold mine, you know, here in the United States people hear about the children who are working in those gold mines, and they hear about the countries that deplete other countries' resources. What is it like working in a gold mine, and how old were you?
By the time I was working in the gold mine, I was 15. Yeah, so I was working sometimes during the night and during the day. I go to school, sometimes working for a whole month in the gold mine, and a whole month I go to school. So because I had to fend for myself and for our other siblings.
Oh my goodness. Thank you for sharing that with us, because a lot of people here don't understand real poverty. And, you know, people here in the United States sometimes complain, but we do have systems in place to help people when they lose a mother and a father. We have social programs, even though a lot of people complain about paying their taxes for social programs. We're grateful to God we have them. So you wrote in your to me that you your target groups is to help the teenage mothers, commercial workers who are not employed. You help them with training and education. How does your group help with this, your foundation, RICO Foundation? What do you do to help these women and children?
Yeah, because there is serious challenges facing the teenage mothers, the girls and girls, and the commercial workers. Due to severe poverty, where I work, where my non-profit work, youth and women are experiencing hopelessness, with some engaging in commercial sex work, while living. The unemployment rate is so high, to an extent that it's not easy to put food on the table. So what we do at RICO Kenya, we identify the most vulnerable adolescent girls, teenage mothers, and commercial sex workers. Then we take them through vocational training. But we specialize on some special skills which are more employable and which is easy. Once they are trained on those specific courses, they are easily absorbed in their self-employment, or they get employed into some businesses.
Yes.
So,
we saw that on your Facebook. Yes. Mr. Kabaka, I wanted to tell you, wherever you're standing or sitting right now, we're hearing you loud and clear. Before, we were having a little bit of a muffled tone. So stay right where you are as you speak with us, because it's sounding like you're sitting right with us in the studio.
Perfect.
Okay. Yes, and you help people with drug and alcohol addiction as well.
Yes, we do. We have an holistic kind of training, very integrated. Apart from the employable skills, the employable vocational skills that we train them, we also train them on life skills. And we rehabilitate the drug addicts. We also rehabilitate the street children. We rehabilitate them through life skills training, and then we introduce them to the vocational skills for employment, and also teach them the business ideas so that they are able to manage their own businesses. And after the training, we group them. Some we group, and we give them some startup tools where they work for livelihood.
Wow. Well, you're amazing, the work that you're doing. Now, I was looking at your Facebook, and I noticed that some of the skills that you're talking about, the vocational skills, are things like a simple thing like cooking or sewing, something that can help the woman, or farming, growing their own crops. You do a lot of hands-on stuff, and it's stuff that people not necessarily have to go to college for, but they can use their hands. And your organization, your nonprofit, is helping with this as well.
Exactly. We don't discriminate because we don't look at the grades of the teenage mothers that we pick, because we teach them hands-on skills, which immediately after the training, they are able to either employ themselves or work by themselves or join other businesses. So what we do is we seek to catalyze systematic change in skills development and employment creation by facilitating flexible, low-cost, market-oriented, and competency-based skills training, which serve to create pathways to decent employment for the youth. So we don't discriminate on the grades of the ones that we recruit, because most important for us is them to get skills, hands-on skills that can enable them get employed by themselves or get employed in other businesses.
Yeah.
So what we train them on hairdressing. We also train them on beauty therapy. We train them on dressmaking and fashion design, and lastly on hospitality, cooking, and the rest.
That's awesome. And you know, there's also women who are forced into marriages, and God forbid if something happened with those marriages, they're looked down on by society, and a lot of those women then they have to pick up the pieces and move on, and they have no education. And you see a lot of that in your area as well.
Exactly. You perfectly said. We have many women that get into marriages, early marriages, due to poverty in deep pockets, or sometimes due to cultural, societal influence. We have a neighboring community that is doing what we call female genital mutilation. So once they go through those female genital mutilation, then they are forced to get to those early marriages. So once they get into those early marriages, they find in between they cannot survive those marriages. So they pull out, either the man or the woman pull out, then they remain very, very vulnerable. So we pick those ones, we train them, we restore hope for them, and then they get rejuvenated and start life again.
So for our listeners who are tuning in, we're speaking with Mr. Edward Kabaka, and he's calling us from Kenya, believe it or not. When we say Viewpoint with Sita and Friends is worldwide, we're not kidding, Miss Ellen.
That's right.
He is the founding director of RICO, a nonprofit in Kenya. But Mr. Kabaka, you touch on a very sensitive subject there with female mutilation. I was hoping by this time in our world that this is outlawed, that it's not happening anymore. But are you saying that in Kenya, where you live, it still happens?
Yes, it do happen. It's outlawed, and we are doing a lot of public litigation also. We are raising these issues. It is like in the Kuria, because where we are found, we are bordering Tanzania and Kenya. We are in the Kenyan side. So we are in the southwestern part of Kenya. We are just 15 minutes drive to Tanzania. So we have a community called Kuria community. We also have the Somalis living in Migori town. And we have the Tutsis. Those are communities that are still silently practicing female genital mutilation. Yes, it is outlawed, but still those communities are practicing it. So part of what we do also, we do public litigation. We raise those issues also with lawyers that we have identified with that helps us follow those issues.
Do you partner with any of the NGOs or people from the United States that are there and also have nonprofits? Do you partner with any businesses to help you to transform the lives of these women and children and all the people that you're helping? That is such a vulnerable population, not just in your part of the world, but everywhere, right? So do you partner with anyone, any businesses, any NGOs or anything?
Yes, we have partnered with Kids for Peace for the last 7 years. We have partnered with Kids for Peace from the U.S. is based in San Diego. I happened to be in the U.S. I think 3 months ago. I was in Juliana next to San Diego. Yes, so we partner with Kids for Peace. They built a school for orphans. They supported us through coins, American children contributed coins, mostly in California State. We built a whole school for orphaned and vulnerable children, which we are doing very well with that school. So our partnership with Kids for Peace has been entirely on the school for the orphaned and vulnerable children. Right now, we are sourcing more partnership to help women. We are yet to get such partnership. But we are pursuing friends and well-wishers who can join us to support the teenage mothers, the adolescent girls, and the entire vulnerable women. Yes.
Yes. Well, you are the master of your destiny. And it seems to us that even though you were orphaned and against all odds, you rose above it to become who you are. And your English, by the way, is impeccable. You speak extremely well. I could go on and hear you forever. You speak so well. When you're calling us right now, what part of Kenya are you in right now? Because you mentioned a couple of places, but I just want to picture you sitting at a place surrounded by lush tropical plants in a beautiful country. What part of Kenya are you in right now?
Southwestern part of Kenya. I am at Migori County. Migori County is Migori, Migori County. We are 15 minutes away from Tanzania, and we are touching Lake Victoria. That is the second largest freshwater lake, Lake Victoria.
You know, when you speak,
we are in Migori. Yes.
Migori. So my friend Lois is sitting next to me, and our segment don't have a lot of time left, but she, like you, does a lot of advocacy here in our town, and I like, you know, people who mentor each other, and it sounds as though you could use someone, even if it's a long distance, to help mentor some of the people in your life there who would like to have a business, or just like-minded people, and Lois is shaking her head. I'm going to let her say something if she would like to for a minute or so to you.
Yes, I have a question. Okay. How are you? Can you hear me?
Good.
Okay, very
well. Yes, I can hear you very well.
Okay,
yes.
Wonderful. What I would like to know, do you have anyone that's directly working with the women to teach them on their hygiene, how to survive, different things in life they need? Like you say, if you give them a sewing machine, they learn to sew. So do you have people in place for that, some type of system that you work this out?
Yes, we have integrated our training to include the skills, the employable skills, vocational skills, the practical business skills, business mentorship, coaching, life skills and psychosocial support. You know, some, like, for example, the ones that we have extracted from this female genital mutilation, the ones that we have rescued before joining those kind of retrogressive cultures, we do for them psychosocial support. So we have quite a range of trainers on different topics. Some we link up with the government to provide trainers to come and talk to our women. So we have a range of trainers, yes, on different topics.
Okay, I have one last question. I know we're running out of time, but what would you like for the people here in America to do to help you with your organization? What is it that you're looking for support-wise?
At the moment, we have trained so many women, but we need to start for them. I give them some startups in terms of business. So, like, for example, in hairdressing, the trainers, the ones that have graduated for hairdressing, we need to provide them with some startup tools, like the brochures,
You need things like scissors. You need things like hair straighteners. You need products, combs. You need a little station. You need to set them up at a little station. So can you, for our listeners who are tuning in, we're speaking with Mr. Edward Kabaka. He's the founder of and director of RICO in Kenya, believe it or not. And the mission, the overreaching goal for Mr. Edward Kabaka and his organization is to work together to strengthen the income-generating capabilities of poor adolescent girls, commercial sex workers, and teenage mothers, as well as people who need treatment for drug and alcohol abuse. So give us the website, because I'm sure there are people listening that could spare a little change, and if it's a legit organization such as yours, we would be happy to donate a few dollars where you all could use that and buy some of the supplies you need, because it's probably cheaper to buy it there than us shipping it for you. So can you give us your website, Mr. Edward Kabaka, and ways we can get in touch with you all at RICO?
Thank you so much. Our website is www.riekokenya.org. www.riekokenya.org. There they can get us our email, and also on Facebook. We're also on Facebook. If you go to Facebook, you go to RICO Kenya, you'll find us.
So in addition to being the founder of RICO, is this the only job you have, or do you do something else in addition to being an advocate?
Mostly, this is what I do. There are things I do to support my stay or my living. I do some small farming for myself to keep me, but RICO Kenya, I am fully volunteering. This is wholly what I do.
And what does RICO mean? I'm just wondering, how did you come up with the name?
Yes, RICO, which is R-I-E-K-O, Kenya. RICO stands for knowledge. RICO is a Luo name. I think you know your former President Obama. It's from Luo. So it's originally from Luo. So Luo is a tribe. So in my tribe, that's my local tribe, in my tribe of Luo, RICO stands for knowledge. So knowledge is power. So we're talking about knowledge, yes. RICO stands for knowledge.
That is so accurate. Knowledge is power. No matter where you live, knowledge is power, right? And we learn something new every day. And we're so grateful to you for having the vision to have your foundation. It is a nonprofit. And to give of yourself to others and share your knowledge Because obviously you now where did you go to school? I'm just curious because you speak so well. In Kenya or were you was elsewhere?
I studied in Kenya, but because of I got sponsored by One Vision. When I got stuck at now from two, One Vision took over, sponsored me to finish my secondary, and after that I was sponsored by CIDA, that is Canadian International Development Agency. So I managed to study. I was taken to St. Francis Xavier University in Canada. So I studied there with support from CIDA, Canadian International Development Agency.
So I noticed the Canadian accent in your...
Yeah. But at least he went back home to give back.
That's
because,
right.
You know, so many of us immigrants, once you immigrate to Canada or the United States or other places, because of the comfort. But he went back to... He's inconveniencing himself to
exactly,
go back
exactly.
and live the dream, but help
exactly.
other. He's farming. He's giving back. We're so proud of you, and we're grateful for your website. We will certainly share that information mm-hmm. and see what we can do to help you. But I think Lois is thinking about some ways to help you already. You know, the good Lord lines up the universe properly, and I think it's a wonderful mm-hmm. day for spirituality to connect with you. They say God moves in mysterious ways. He sure does. And we're grateful that you chose today to call in. Even though I had to reschedule you a few times, I think we would be able to at least send, I know personally, I will send a little change for you to help transform the lives of these women and children. Because for us in the United States, we don't have to think twice if we need something. We can just go and get it. But for those ladies, it's awfully difficult to get a little station and start a hairdressing, right?
Because I started out with a small shop and ended up with a big day spa. So to me, a woman's essence and how she feels about herself is very important to how she reacts in life and how she performs. So I think that's a wonderful thing you're doing, and I'm glad I had a chance to speak with you today. And I'll see what I can do to send something your way to help the ladies over there.
That's awesome. As always, on Viewpoint with CIDA and Friends, these connections are just about as much as important as the connection and the information that we get. We're going to listen to our sponsors real quick, and then we'll be right back with Lois Gray right after these messages.
Cloud 9 Mattress and Furniture is a family-owned furniture dealer featuring the best and most affordable brands. They offer all servicing for free. The delivery, setup, and home, removal of old furniture, and warranty. Work with a reputable and experienced local business as they strive for excellence with their customers. Scotty's been in the mattress and furniture business for 32 years. You can shop online, call, or stop into the showroom to place an order. They are conveniently located inside the Merritt Square Mall and service all of Brevard County in Central Florida. Super savings sale happening now. That's Cloud 9 Mattress and Furniture, 321-459-2473. Visit them on the web at cloud9furniture.com. Again, 321-459-2473 for Cloud 9. Mattress and furniture.
Welcome to MedFast Urgent Care. We are Brevard County's largest urgent care network. MedFast is now open at 7:30 a.m. every day. That's right, 7:30 a.m. every day. We will get you in and out so you can get back to your day. When you are sick or injured, MedFast is here for you 7 days a week. Think fast, think MedFast. With 18 locations, there's a MedFast near you. Call 321-MEDFAST.
Are you longing for a taste of Louisiana? Lizette's Cajun Bistro is the place to be. They offer Cajun and Creole staples as well as American, vegan, and vegetarian options. The restaurant is located at 2447 North Wickham Road, Unit 146. All menu items are prepared daily from scratch and made to order. Dine in or take out as well as outside seating. Live music on selected weekends. So the next time you have a taste for Louisiana, stop by Lizette's Cajun Bistro, 2447 North Wickham Road.
Located in Titusville, Florida, Dixie Crossroads has been serving great tasting seafood, char-grilled steaks, prime rib, chicken, fresh salads, and their famous corn fritters for over 31 years. The menu features the very best local shrimp and fish from Port Canaveral and ranges from low-cost sandwiches and baskets to high-end seafood combos. Visit this Florida favorite at 1475 Garden Street in Titusville. That's Dixie Crossroads, 321-268-5000. 321-268-5000 or visit them on the web at DixieCrossroads.com. Jotkoff Financial Group.
There's something special about the place we call home. It's the place we live our lives, spend time with family and friends, and make our own. At St. Francis Reflections Hospice, we consider it a privilege to care for you wherever your home may be. We put our hands, hearts, and skills into providing high-quality hospice care in your home. To learn more about how we reflect life, love, and compassion, visit www.reflectionslsc.org.
Welcome back, dear listeners. This is Sita Biggie on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends right here. It's Sita. I got to say my own name. Sita and Friends right here in sunny Cocoa, Florida. We are heard on AM 1510 WWBC, FM 94.7, 99.9, 100.7. And yes, we are heard online every single place on God's magnificent planet where there's Wi-Fi.
That's right. 1510WWBC.com. You can certainly hit that listen live button and get us on any one of your listening devices. Or as the archive shows, you can hit the on demand and pick by date. Or if you go to our website, which is cedamediainc.com, you'll be able to find all of our shows by name, by topic, by date, all kinds of cool stuff you can look it up by. And again, after 14 years, we've got a lot of great interviews, much like today's interview that we had with the gentleman from Kenya.
That's right, Mr. Edward Kabaka.
Right.
And you know, that's why I tell people our show is fun, it's unscripted, it's quite educational and valuable, and we do give out great information, whether it is about advocating for women and children, whether it is advocating so someone can learn a new trade, go to college, maybe somebody want to open a business. And most importantly, we encourage people to vote as well, because you are the master of your own destiny, like Mr. Kabaka just taught us. And, you know, Ellen, oftentimes I sit here and I say, well, I wonder what, if we're going to continue with the show another year or another 2 years, but the information we give out is so great, and people do see me else all over the place, and they'll say, I listened to a show and I learned something from it. And if we can touch the lives of one person every day, we've done our job.
That's right.
And today, right? And today we have Lois Evelyn Gray.
Evelyn Lois Gray.
And Evelyn is here. She's a good friend of mine. We hung around with in some of the same circles, mostly the League of Women Voters. We're both advocates. And we recently went to a racial healing. Yeah. It was a forum. And it's amazing how we connected again. That was God's way of reconnecting us again. And I said to Lois, you got to come on the show. And I think everybody there would have liked to hear us speak more, because people like what we were saying. It was a pretty, like, open forum. I went totally with bare hands, like I did today, bare hands.
and just knowledge.
Mm-hmm. Is power, right? So you've done a lot. In addition to having your day spa, you also taught cosmetology.
Yes.
Now you're a real estate agent.
Yes.
You're also on the League of Women Voters. And most importantly, like Mr. Kabaka, but in a different capacity, you encourage people to uplift their communities, get involved. Don't complain. Don't whine. Be part of the change they want to see. But you do it with such dignity and grace.
Yes, I try to, because I like to respect everybody's opinion, you know, about their life, because you never know what a person is going through. So therefore, you have to be kind. I try when I go anywhere, you know, like to put a smile on my face, because you don't know what that person went through to get to work. So I'm a people person, and I love
And you look great. It's amazing. I know your daughter. Your daughter was on our show, too, a while back.
Yeah, JT.
Yeah, yes. She was on our show, and it's just beautiful. You're both two beautiful souls. And I know Allie is dying to jump in at this point and say something to Lois. Go for it, Allie.
I want the name of the spa.
Oh, it's no longer in existence.
Oh, it was in Daytona, right?
It was in Daytona. Yeah. In fact, I had the first day spa.
Did you?
On mainland in Daytona.
Yes. Yes.
And it was voted number one.
Well, I had a very sweet husband, and he would say, go do something like that if you want to.
Right.
And it was my first experience with having something, you know, a spa session like that. And it is almost embarrassing. It's so wonderful.
It's so wonderful.
Yeah.
My little granddaughter, she would come sometimes, and the ladies would always come out and say if they got a massage or a facial or got the hair.
Yes.
I feel like a new person.
That's right.
Yeah,
when you feel good.
Now, in addition to doing all these things, you're on the advisory board for the All Black Foundation. So talk to our listeners a little bit about that, because there's so many people that say, I'm going to do this, but they don't do it.
Exactly.
But you walk the walk and you talk the talk.
Exactly.
Yes.
Exactly. All Black is a foundation that my daughter formed.
Mm-hmm.
And what she does is she works with JT Hassel, who's a former NFL football player, and he's still active overseas. And they put together this resource. And what's so beautiful about being with All Black, you get immediate, direct contact with the community. For them to come out and the kids to have a fun day, a wonderful day, it's no charge. We feed the adults, we feed the children, we feed the guests, even everyone that comes. We have bounce houses, we have all sorts of things just to keep them. And I even set up a booth to teach them about real estate, because that's a missing negative wisdom in our community.
Yeah, well, you know, people, knowledge is power, right?
Knowledge
and a lot of people
power.
Don't want to share, but if you're one of those people that are giving and like to share, you will share it. Now, in addition to all of this with the Black Foundation and everything, you also are with the League of Women Voters.
League of Women Voters.
And that is a nonpartisan group that I also belong to. Talk to our listeners on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends why that was so important to you, Lois, and your presence there is felt. Because people know you're there. Not for play.
Right.
You're there to make a difference.
Exactly.
So talk to your listeners about why getting involved with the League of Women Voters is so important to you, and it should be to all of us.
And it should be to everyone in the community, regardless to what a party you're affiliated with. And the thing that we have to teach people, that you cannot change things by complaining. We have a system of voting. So if your vote is not valuable to you, then you lose the right to complain about anything that's going on in society. And I think the only way that we can make change and pull people out of our legislator and government and everything else that have ulterior motives and are just in it for power and control, the only way we can change things is by voting.
Well, you know, people pay more attention to maybe going to the grocery store and trying to figure out if the bread is stale or if it's fresh.
Right.
People pay attention if they go to a restaurant, if something is $14 versus $15. They pay attention.
Right.
But they don't pay attention to who their school board members are. They don't pay attention to who's elected into state office. They don't pay attention into who the state senator is. They don't pay attention to who is making decisions about that same bread they're going to eat.
And I think that's what happened. You know, everyone was always so focused on who our president is. But they don't realize that he can't do anything without the Senate, without the Congress, without the governor in some states, a lot of things. And now what we have to be focused on and concentrate is we vote every time an election is held. City council, county commissioners, all of that. We need to vote.
Yes. But how do you empower people with this knowledge to go out there and get involved? Because many times people would say, I don't have the time. Well, dude, if I have the time to work full time, have a radio show, have a busy life with the grandchildren and the family, read, do all the stuff, I make the time. It's important to find out where your precinct is. It's important to find out if your voter's registration card has the right address, the right name. If your signature matches, this takes 5 minutes to check.
Right.
So why, I mean, what can we say to the people who just are so apathetic? They feel like their vote don't count. when we all know it does count.
But you know, their vote doesn't count if they don't vote.
That is a fact.
That's profound. A fact. You know, I mean, exactly. Really, it doesn't count.
Yeah.
You know.
And they're just adding, that's a double whammy right
double
there.
Whammy. Yeah. You know, and if a person tells me they don't vote and we're talking about a political subject and, you know, they're talking about it and I said, well, did you vote? Oh, and it doesn't work. I said, well, complaining doesn't either.
Right.
You know, because you have to put action. See, people love to talk and say what they want to do and how they're going to do it and what we should do. But when it comes time to, like you were saying, about taking that sacrifice, like I'm busy too. I'm a realtor, you know, and I have to go places and make different things. But for things that's important to me, like my freedom, democracy, equality, equal rights, being able to live in a free democracy, that's even more important.
Yeah, most important, to be included.
Right.
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 So in addition to all these things you're doing, you're also the president of the Rotary Club in Titusville. Now, how does she find the time?
Well, I was formerly the president. I'm not now. The term was up in July, but I was a president for about 6 months, and I really loved it because anything that reaches out to the community and we can impact the people directly, and it's just no other feeling like it.
Yeah.
It's not, I like when I go to the Hassel Foundation, you know, and, see the kids and they're laughing, you know, they're experiencing bounce houses, hot dogs, ham, whatever they want.
But it goes back to what you had said originally about local politics. And
right.
I think people, if they see more of the impact of their vote in local politics, they can start seeing, because honestly, the ripple effect starts with the local politics. And then it rolls its way up. So that's when you start seeing a difference. When people start losing effectiveness, if you will, in our community over voting, then now we're really at a bigger problem, right? But that's why it's so important to vote now. So when you say things like, when somebody says, oh, the president this, the president that, I say things like, well, what do you know that Rob Medina did that was good last week, which is the mayor of Palm Bay?
Right.
Or what
right.
do you know about what?
Paul Alfrey.
Yeah, Paul Alfrey.
Or what's going on with Margaritaville?
Exactly.
And how many jobs is it bringing to Melbourne?
And when they don't know that, but they know all of this detail about national politics that really don't affect them,
or won't affect them tomorrow. People don't take the time to, I'm so glad you are a real estate agent. The housing market drives everything.
Yes,
right?
It does.
If you have a house, you spend money to fix it up. If you have a home, you have insurance. If you have a home, you have a place to lay your head for your children. You spend money. You take care of it. But a lot of people don't see that as an attainable goal anymore because of the affordable housing crisis. So talk to us a little bit in your trek as a realtor. What are you seeing? I mean, how can people get a home anymore? What are the tricks to get a home? What do we do now?
Okay, what happened, and this won't happen again for a long, long time, is that the corporations came in. They were paying, and the people from New York or California, wherever they were moving from, they were paying double what the properties are worth here in Volusia County. That surged in Brevard. Brevard County. And it surged the prices of the homes sky high. And it makes it unattainable for people that work here because we don't have a strong job force. You know, we need something that can empower people, but you can get a home. Because all you have to do, and if you've been wanting one and you're struggling to get one, all it takes is about a year, no more than a year and a half, to get your credit cleaned up.
Mm-hmm. And find out about the home
first time buyers. There are so many different programs out there. And then people make a lot of mistakes when trying to purchase a home. When they get that first clearance saying, okay, you're approved, they go out and buy a brand new car.
Right. Furniture,
getting ready for the... But
get
home.
The house. You could sleep on the ground.
That's what
they they say in Trinidad. You could take coconut fiber and make a mattress.
Absolutely.
But you could sleep on your own floor.
On your own floor.
You could drink water and
out
you could eat stale bread, but you could pay your mortgage.
Exactly.
Right? And you could call Brian, our friend Brian from Shelter Mortgage.
Right.
But here's the thing, though. Many people don't go out in the community and teach these life skills. Number one is credit.
Mm-hmm.
Number two is how to save. Number three, don't buy the Starbucks if you would like to have a home. We're not going to knock Starbucks, but if you can't
$5 for a cup of coffee.
Five times five is 25 plus the weekend.
Right.
If you go in, that's $40 almost, right?
And look at that.
So how do you teach them that that $40 a week equals to $160 a month that could go towards your first time buying a home?
You answered, you asked the right question. With the NAACP, I'm on the board with them also, and I'm over the housing. So my first action there is I'm going to hold a seminar, hopefully at the Gibson Center, on local people, people that's interested in buying homes, don't know how to get started, what to do first, teach them the do's and the don'ts. And it is possible for everybody to have a home, you know, because that's the only way you're going to create generational wealth.
Right, right. Yeah. Otherwise, you're making somebody else rich.
Rich. Yeah. And that's why they call, well, at least I call it, I call land black gold. They're not making any more land.
And what do you say to these people? Like, a lot of folks think that the Airbnbs hurt the housing market because people that could have afforded a home, now that home is being rented to outsiders and strangers that come in, which people want to make money, we understand, but so many homes that should have been on the market for single families are now rented out for Airbnb.
Absolutely. I see it all the time, and that's what happened. You know, they swooped in, they picked these properties.
It's greed.
It's greed.
Greed.
Greed. Greed drives the economy. Everything. Everything.
And the corporations did come in and buy blocks of houses.
Oh, yeah.
And unfortunately, but much to what Lois said, drove the price up, and it just makes it impossible for somebody to find something. So even now, I'm telling people, they're saying, how do you find a house? I'm saying, well, first of all, get pre-approved, right?
Right.
Find your favorite realtor, but drive through neighborhoods and look for the ones that have the grass piled up.
Right.
You know, and try and get in touch, because all of that is public.
Yeah, you could find it. If
all you got to do is look up a property appraiser. You can find out who owns it.
So, Lewis, your life contributions, you lay your success squarely on some principles.
Yes.
That you've developed, and I just absolutely love them. And I think we have maybe about 5 minutes, maybe, that we could go through these. And it's pretty much what we talk about on the show with vision and fate and listening and staying focused and all this. So talk to us from your point of view, how you got started with saying to yourself, this is my contribution to myself, and you're focused and you're sharing it with others.
You know, the way I got started was the day I was born, because ever since I was small, they knew somehow that I could decorate. My aunt built her first home. She had me to come there and do that, you know. So I feel that what I have is a gift that God gave me. So he helps me, and I pray every day to use it right. Because first of all, you got to have passion. You got to have purpose. You got to be patient. You have to persevere.
Stay focused.
And when you do all that, that equals power. And research and learn about what you want to do. Because I don't know for the believers and non-believers, but God put a talent in all of us.
So you have to own
what you want, and
hold your head up high and say, another person could see that in a negative light.
Right.
But you're going to see this in a positive light.
And that's what people have to understand. It's not a point of being better than anyone or thinking you're better than, it's loving yourself. I learned to love myself a long time ago, and that was the best revelation I ever had in my life. Because it doesn't matter what someone think of me. You know, I know who I am. You know, I know what I'll do.
So you are your own best friend.
I am my very best friend.
Yes. Well, I learned something, you know, relatively new too, a new saying, right? If words can control you, then anything can control
That's
you.
That's right.
So you have to be really
vigilant, and resilient. It's okay. That's why we're unscripted. Mm-hmm.
That's right.
That's so
the G becomes the L.
So for our listeners who are tuning in, my friend Evelyn Lois Gray, who's a realtor and an advocate and does so many things in our community, the 8 things that we're talking about, her life successes, and you could jump in here too because we're going to run out of time.
Right.
The vision, you talk about the passion and the breath and life.
That's right.
And that also is your faith.
That's it.
So expand a little bit on your faith and your belief in God's ability to guide you.
Because he's proved it so many times for me before. And I found out the more that I trust him, the more he does.
He leads you.
He leads me. If you allow him to lead you, he will. And I've been one that I taught my kids, and I was saying, can't does not exist in our house. There's no such word. You can do anything that you put your mind to. It may take you a little longer, but it's not how fast you run the race. It's how the fact that you end and you finish that, go for that finish line.
Right.
So I've always had visions and things to do and been innovative. And God knows I've had so many businesses. I've even had a disco. But that's another story.
And you also observe others who've walked the path, others who came before you. You listen. And most importantly,
learn.
You observe and you watch.
I watch.
Yeah.
I watch people because, you know, your mouth can say anything.
Yeah,
I'm a people watcher.
Mm-hmm.
Your mouth can say anything, but your action shows who you are.
You also create a plan and you take action.
Take action. Because once I get focused on it, you know, like I'm so laser focused and I just know, I feel like I said, God, you didn't do this for every, you know, just special people. You're here for everybody. And I'm one of the everybody.
So. And a lot of us know this one to be true. Not everybody is your friend. Like my mother used to say, not everybody who's skin and green with you is your friend. And you figure that out and you keep your circle small.
Yes, I do. And my grandmother used to, she raised us, by the way, my brother and I. But she used to always tell me, she'd say, all these people are around you, but they don't mean you good. You know what I'm saying? Oh, yes, they do. They love me. Did I find out? Now I listen, and I'm glad I found out at a younger age. And my most prized accomplishment is raising my two daughters and having two beautiful grandchildren. Tiffany is a HR director in Tallahassee. She just moved into her new home. Tara works here at Easton. She has her own business. They are thriving. My granddaughters are excelling. So that's what I'm most proud of.
And you also give back and you're fearless.
Absolutely.
And you do believe that mistakes are just learning nuggets through experience. And it is true. We all do. So give us a website if someone is thinking about buying a home from you or somebody just wants to get a hold of you to learn about what your vision and faith and staying connected and focused and all these good things.
Right. I don't have a website, but they can reach me on Facebook. I'm at Mutter Realty on the corner of Julia and Highway 1. Downtown.
And you may not be aware of this, but when you Google your name, you come up a lot.
So before
you
Danny
come up
gives
a lot.
Us that
so
signal
your
to
connection,
cut.
Yeah, your connection with League of Women Voters, your everywhere that you've spoken actually pops up. So you're well loved in town.
What a wonderful
one of the ones I love before he gives me the thing is mistakes in a few seconds. You talk about mistakes being a learning. Talk to us quickly about that.
You don't make a mistake when you learn from it because that's how you grow. We weren't born perfect and we're not going to die perfect. So we, like you said before, knowledge is power. So what I tell my daughter, I say, when you make a mistake or you meet a nasty person, you learn what not to do. I say, and as long as you learn from it and don't repeat it, that's a life lesson.
I think the best thing to do to a nasty person is to look them right in the eye and say, do you feel great doing what you're doing right now?
Yeah. I know. I think that's wonderful. How does it make you feel?
I love you for
it doesn't
that.
Help you take it
that's,
personally.
That's some serious Catholic guilt right there.
All right. Just letting
you know.
Let's hear
you might be Hindu, but
it doesn't help to take it personally. It's their error, not yours.
Right. And we're not taking nothing with us when we leave the planet.
Exactly.
We
come
with nothing and we leave it nothing. And all I have really that's worth anything is my name. And, my
and the children. The two
absolutely.
Girls.
Absolutely.
Yes,
girls,
babies.
My grandgirls. Oh, I just love them. They're beautiful.
Yes. Sound like me.
Amen. So we are... Thank you so much, everyone, for tuning in. Thank you so much, Lois Gray, for spending the airwaves with us. We are here on each and every Monday on 1510 WWBC, 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Viewpoint with Sita and Friends. We'll see you next week, y'all.